This morning, this is one of those passages that a lot of people get to hear, even people that normally don't come to church regularly, because this is what a lot of people would call an Easter passage. Well, what are you doing preaching an Easter passage in October? It's that passage that we've all heard. It's going to be in Luke chapter 24, so if you want to go ahead and turn there. But it's one of those passages that we do preach it, you hear it either on Easter or around Easter quite a bit. But this past week, God kind of, to me, He showed me something that I need out of this. And so that's my prayer this morning as we go into this message, is that, I don't know how to say this other than just the fact that this hits you where you are. That's my prayer. That's always my prayer, that it hits me where I am, and it's my prayer that it hits you as well. And so we're going to go ahead and I'm going to read the passage, and then we will get into this. So we're going to start in verse 13. It's that famous, the road to Emmaus. It says, "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, You are the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which have happened in these days? And he said to them, What things? So they said to him, The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have to suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scripture and the things concerning himself. Then they drew near the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, Did not our heart burn within us while he walked with us on the road, and while he opened the scripture to us? So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened to them on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we just thank you and we praise you for your word that you give us. Lord, today we pray that you would open it up to our eyes. Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would deliver to us the message you have for each of us as individuals. Lord, hide me behind the cross. Lord, I don't want to get in the way. Lord, help me say everything you want me to say and nothing you don't want me to say. Lord, may your spirit move within us today because we need you. We need you, Jesus. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. As we look at this passage, There are several things that I want us to look at today, but there are things that I want you to apply to yourself. I'm going to ask you questions at the end. It's going to be really pointed. I'm telling you now. So don't get up and leave, but it's happening. It's going to happen. But first of all, I want us to look at, here's these two men, or two disciples, and there's a lot of speculation on who they really are. We know one is Cleopas, but we don't know who the other one is. There's speculation by theologians that some say it may have been his wife, and they were traveling back home. Some say it may have been his son, who was another one of the disciples, not one of the 11, but one of the disciples that had been with them. But it really doesn't matter to this point for us today who these disciples were, other than the fact that these men had been around Jesus, or these people had been around Jesus for some time. They were his followers. They were listening to him. We don't know really specifically what their spirituality was. We like to think sometimes, because it says there were two of the disciples and they were with the disciples when Peter and John ran back to the tomb and it was empty. So we want to say that they were two disciples who truly believed that Jesus was the Son of God, but we don't know that. But as we look at this, I want us to see, first of all, where these two guys were at. They're walking 7 miles from Jerusalem. They had just seen all the things that had happened that week prior to Jesus being crucified. They were probably there when Jesus was crucified. Whether they saw him buried or just knew he was buried, they were there when the women came back. We know they were there when Peter and John came back. We know that they knew everything that was going on, because they even told Jesus, "And this is what happened to you." They didn't realize it was him, but they're telling him. So they saw everything that went on that week. They had been in pretty good company. But we don't know where they were at, other than the fact that they are somewhere in this 7 mile trek from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And they're sad. So emotionally, we know where they're at. We know they are upset. If they did truly believe Jesus was the Son of God, and we know that it says that they thought he was going to be the one that might redeem Israel, but things didn't work out the way they thought they would. Man, I'd love to get a raising of hands right now for every Christian in here that saw that. Man, things didn't work out like I thought they would. I believe in Jesus. I've accepted him as my Savior, but things didn't work out the way I thought they would. Maybe that's where these two men were. But wherever they were, they're sad and they're walking down this lonely road away from Jerusalem. Remember, the last place they saw Jesus was in Jerusalem. They knew he was no longer in the tomb. Very, very good representation from their friends told them he was no longer in the tomb. Jesus met them where they were at. Everyone in here is somewhere along that road. Everyone in here has been maybe to the distance of Emmaus. Man, maybe you feel like you're 7 miles from where you used to be. Maybe you're just started that way. Maybe you're just there and you're in that spot of, I don't understand. Because probably daily we see things and we talk to people and they say, I just don't understand why it's happening like this. Jesus met them where they were, sad, confused, and in need of something. I'm pretty sure everybody in this room here is in need of something. And I'm not saying that we're all spiritually, you know, dry. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is everybody in here could be closer to Jesus than we are. So what happens is they find themselves walking down the road. Jesus comes alongside them and starts talking to them. And so as he sees them, he meets them physically where they're at. But he's also going to meet them spiritually where they're at. I love this passage because They know all about Jesus, but they're kept from recognizing Him. And He comes right out and He says, here's your problem. He lets them voice their concerns. And God would love for you and I to voice our concerns to Him every day. He already knows them. Jesus already knew everything that had happened. But He let them voice their concerns. And then once they voiced their concerns, He didn't just pat them on the back and say, oh, it's okay. He said, here's your problem. Maybe not in those words. But we know that He did rebuke them. Oh, foolish ones. Jesus walks up and says, you foolish ones, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And these were people that had followed Jesus around, but yet they did not believe everything that the prophets had spoken. Jesus basically said, you don't believe the Scripture. Man, you hung around me for all these times. You saw the miracles. You experienced the blessings. You were in the company of all the 11. And you don't even believe the Scriptures. Now, we know that they talked about the fact that they thought He might be the one that was going to redeem Israel. So they had heard a little bit of the Scripture. They understood enough to know that there was going to be a Messiah come and redeem Israel, and they had hoped that it was Him. So they understood a little bit of the Scripture. But it says that Jesus walked along and He started with Moses and the prophets, and He expounded in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. And so many times we hear people that they want to quote those really good Scriptures. Those things that are all positive. Those things that bring no conviction. But you know, what we've got to do is we've got to understand that this all Scripture points to Jesus. The Old Testament all points to Jesus. The New Testament all points from Jesus. If we don't understand the Scriptures are about Jesus, then we don't understand the Scriptures. So He tells them, you don't really understand the Scriptures. You don't believe the Scriptures. Today, people are kind of the same way. They pick and choose the Scriptures they want to believe. Maybe they don't think that the Scriptures apply to them because that was written thousands of years ago. Maybe they don't think that the Scriptures are really going to happen. You know, God's too loving of a God to do those things. But for whatever reason, people don't want to get into the Bible. We want to hang around the religious people. We want to do the religious things. We want to memorize the I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me Scripture. And I love that. It's one of my favorites. But if that's all the Scripture I rely on, then I'm in trouble. What we have to do is understand what Jesus did in this passage. He opened the Scripture to them concerning Himself. And then He goes on and He reveals Himself not just in the Scripture. He reveals Himself in person. They're sitting there eating, and He does something that they had recognized. They had been with Him enough while He was alive that when He broke that bread, they were able to recognize Him. They had spent enough time with Jesus, and now they'd heard the Scripture and how the Scripture said that Jesus was going to have to die and be buried and rise again 3 days later. And so now they take the fact that the Scripture is open to them. And then they recognize, this one that we saw is here. So they go from seeing who Jesus was to who Jesus is. Understand what I'm saying here, because a lot of times we as Christians, we focus so much, and I'm not saying it's not good, not important, don't get me wrong, But we focus so much on who Jesus was that we miss who He is. He is alive. He is a risen Savior. But we focus on history. Yes, without that history, it's not going to matter. He did all those things that we talk about and we believe and we trust and we hope. We have our hope in. But is He real to you today? Has He opened the Scripture to you? Has He opened Himself up to you? That's what I'm asking. Because what we've got to understand is that He's not just the Jesus of the Bible. Yes, He is. 100% of everything this book says is right and it's about Him. But if it's just a history book to you, then you're missing out. Because it's about a living, loving relationship that the Creator of heaven wants with you. That's what we've got to get. And as long as this book stays just a history book, it will never come alive in your life. Look what happened. As He opened Himself to them, He opened the Scriptures and He revealed Himself to them. They said to one another, did our hearts not burn within us while we were on the road? While He opened the Scriptures to us, our hearts burned within us. I'm going to ask you one of those questions right now. How long has it been since the Word of God burned in your heart? Because, you know, too many times it's the book, it's the Bible. Yeah, it's important. What value does it have to you on a daily basis? Does it burn within you? Does it change you? If I had a hay bale and I stuck it out here and I took a hot coal and I put it inside that hay bale and it burned within that hay bale, what's going to happen? It's going to be consumed by flame. If you take the Word of God and you allow Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, to put it inside you and open it up to you, it will burn inside you. So how many times do we read our Bible of a morning or at night? Well, I've read my 3 chapters. I'm good. And we go to bed. Or we go on to work. Or whatever we're doing. And it doesn't burn at all. Because you never ask Him. Because I never ask Him to open it up to me. I don't want to just read verses on a page. I don't want to read just typing on a page. I want it to be something, Lord, that burns in me. That eventually consumes me. And that's not going to happen if I don't spend time with Jesus. That's what happened with these two guys. They spent time with Jesus and He opened the Scripture to them. And once He opened the Scripture to them, then they were able to see Him for who He is. So many Christians today don't see Jesus for who He is. Because the Scripture hasn't burned within them in way too long. I know it's getting a little pointed. Guys, that's why the church is what it is today. That's why we're not on fire today, is because this place is not going to be on fire unless the individuals in this place are on fire. And the individuals in this place are not going to be on fire until they spend time with Jesus and ask Him to open up His Word that it might burn within us. Man, I have never done that in my life. It's one of those things we have to understand, that the Scripture has to burn within us. And we have to see Him for who He is today. Yes, who He was when he came as a baby is important. Who He was when He walked down that road and carried that cross to Golgotha. And who He was when He came out of that grave. And who He was when He ascended to heaven on high. And who He is right now to you is the most important thing that you have. If you don't understand that this word is a love letter from the Creator of the universe to you, then you're missing out. Once He reveals Himself to them, man, it changed everything. It changed their understanding. They went from, well, we thought He was going to be this Jesus that was crucified. We thought He was going to be the Redeemer. They went from knowing who He was, who they thought He was, to their understanding was He's alive because we saw Him. It changed my understanding when He opened the Scripture to me. Didn't my heart burn within me while He was opening the Scripture to me? And then now I've seen Him, I know personally that He's alive because I saw Him at my table. So many times, there's no change in our understanding because there's no burning in our heart. Because the Scripture has value to us. But is it important? I looked up last night. Albert Pujols hit his 700th home run, and yeah, he hit more after that. But the guy that had the ball for the 700th home run, right now the auction bid is $130,000 for that baseball. Professional baseball in a year's season generally has somewhere around 300,000 baseballs they go through in a year's time. But this one is worth $130,000 because the guy hit it over a fence. And it wasn't even the last one he hit over the fence. Where are we at in what we think is valuable? Where are we at in what we think is important? When a baseball that's hit over a fence is worth $130,000, that even if you buy it, what are you going to do with it? Set it on a shelf? Put it in a safe? Man, I watched a movie yesterday, Sandlot. It's a great movie. I love it. You've heard it. You've seen it. A ball signed by Babe Ruth got hit into a dog's mouth, basically. It can happen that quick. Whoever buys this Albert Pujols ball is probably not going to be out playing with it, for one thing. But the house burn, somebody breaks into the safe, whatever happens, and that $130,000 baseball is gone. But you and I let a Bible set on our table, on our desk, by our bed, day after day. Well, I'll get to it tonight and I'll spend 30 minutes in it. What's the value in that 30 minutes? Man, take it, carry it, start off in the morning with it, meditate on it. Meditate day and night on the Word of God. Put it in your heart that you might be what God desires you to be in a relationship with Him. That's what He wants. When it burns in you, it will change your understanding, but it's not only just going to change your understanding, it's going to change your direction. Here are these men, they walk 7 miles. 7 miles. I looked it up. You can look these things up nowadays. How long does it take to walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus? Dave's probably done it. I don't know. But I looked it up and they said, with the terrain, it averages about 3 hours to walk that 7 miles. So they walked 7 miles. The day is well spent. Man, this day is about over. It's been a long, hard day. Very emotional. But that word burns within us. Our understanding of Jesus has changed. My direction is going to change. It's no longer about me. I am going back. And I'm going to tell the people who are closest to me about Jesus. And I'm sure it probably didn't take them 3 hours to get back. They may have set a new record. I don't know. But they got up right then and left. They didn't wait till the next morning. He changed their direction. He changed their thought pattern. He changed what they realized Was it about, I'm tired. Man, I'm dusty, I'm dirty from walking down the road. I'll just wait and tell them tomorrow. He changed their direction. And he didn't just change their direction, he changed their passion. They went from thinking he might be the Redeemer to knowing he was the Redeemer. And when they understood he was the Redeemer, they went back and they're going to tell everybody they know. Man, they're even going to tell people that already know. They walk into this room where there's the 11 and the others are gathered, and Simon says, I saw him. Man, that just kind of blew mine out of the water. I was coming to tell you that. I was coming to tell you he's alive and you already know? I don't care. Listen to this. He met us on the road. He ate with us. He broke the bread. We know him. We know he's alive. Man, their passion went from walking sad down a road away from Jerusalem to meeting Jesus and wanting everybody they cared about to know. Even if you already know about Jesus, I'm going to tell you anyway. And that's my job. If I'm going to come in here and say, well, I know you know about Jesus. I know you know about Jesus. I know you know about Jesus. So I'm just not going to talk about Jesus today. No. Our passion should be about Jesus Christ. It should be about telling people that He's alive. That He's made a difference in my life. He's changed my understanding. He's changed my direction. He's changed my passion. Because He opened His Word and it burned inside me. None of those other things are going to happen. There's no understanding change. There's no direction change. And there's no passion change if it's not for the burning of the Scripture in your heart. And it lays in our house daily. We talk about, we pray about revival. We talk about, man, I remember when, and I don't, I'm not that old, I'm just telling you. But people would say, I remember the old tent revivals that would go on and on. I love those. But we can't do that. We got ball games. We can't do that. The Super Bowl's coming up. And that's what we do. But what we understand is this. It will never change us until it burns within us. So I'm going to ask a question. As a Christian, how long has it been since God's Word truly burned within you? That it changed your understanding? That it changed your direction? That it changed your passion? And I'm not talking about what you hear on a Sunday morning from me, because that doesn't count. Because I'm going to stumble through the words, I'm going to stumble through the verses, and I'm going to mess it up. But if you go to Jesus and He opens it to you, there is nobody to get in the way. As a Christian, if you are on fire like that hay bale, then there's not going to be another hay bale sitting beside you that's not going to be affected. You and I walk around people every day. They walk within arm's reach of us, and they are never affected by the Scripture burning in us. Because the Scripture is really not burning in us. But it says it's alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's alive. And if it's alive and it's in you and me, then it's got to make a difference. You've got to decide the value of the Scripture in your life. Getting warm in here, just telling you. But I want to close with this. If you have never had the Scripture come alive, be so real that you understand that it is from God Himself to you, you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life. You've never followed Him in the Lord's baptism because it's just been something people have talked about. It's been something you read. I want you to understand, I don't know how else to say it, that this word was written for you as an individual. People want to say that the Bible was written and passed down for the church. And yes, it was. But the church is individuals. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, it was written for you. It was written so that you could have that relationship with Jesus Christ. He loves you so much that He died on the cross for you. I can sit here and I can read these scriptures to you, but until you decide you want to hear from Jesus what it's all about, it will never make a difference. He wants it to burn in your heart. But He's not going to force it in there. We want people in this society to see Jesus alive. We want people in this society to understand that the Creator of the world is just that, the Creator of the world, but He's also a loving Savior for a world that needs Him. But until the Word of God burns in you and me, they've got nothing to see. Until it burns in you and me, they have nothing to see. They are not at blame. They're not to blame. Yes, the Bible tells us in Romans that they're without excuse. That is true. They're going to have to answer. Everyone's going to have to stand before Him and answer for their own reasoning of what they did with Him. But as Christians, you and I are going to have to stand before Him as well and say, what have you done with Jesus? What have you done with the things that He has blessed you with? With His Word that He gave you? What did you do with it? What change did it make in your life? I don't know what the questions are going to be, but I know what the changes can be if we let this Word burn within us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. Lord, we say that every week. God, may it burn within me. May it burn within each of Your children within the sound of my voice. And Lord, my prayer is that if there's anybody here that has never understood, may it burn within their heart today. Lord, we love You. We thank You for loving us. May You be glorified and honored in every breath we take. In Your name we pray. Amen.